This is Susan V. Bruck, Telluride Inside and Out. In 2017, Molly Tuttle was honored by the International Bluegrass Music Association as Guitar Player of the Year. In 2018, she won IBMA's Song of the Year for You Didn't Call My Name, IBMA's Emerging Artist of the Year, and the Americana Music Honors and Awards Instrumentalist of the Year. And Molly Tuttle only just released her freshman album this year, in 2019. The title is When You Are Ready. So a star is already born and still rising. At the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, Molly Tuttle performs solo on Friday, June 21st, 1:30 p.m., then again with the First Ladies of Bluegrass, a supergroup, on Sunday, 3:30 p.m., all on the main stage in Telluride Town Park. Molly, thanks for taking time out of your touring schedule to talk with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. So a little background. All your fans know you grew up in a musical family in California.
Mm-hmm.
And we know your father was a professional multi-instrumentalist and Bay Area teacher. Mm-hmm. So in your case, nature and nurture merged in your rocketing career. But what about your brothers? And why the switch early on from violin to guitar?
Yeah, my brothers both played growing up too. One of them, Sullivan, played guitar and Michael played mandolin. And Sullivan actually still plays in a band called Blue Summit, and they're in Ireland right now on tour, and they tour all the time and play a lot in California. Michael doesn't really play as much anymore, but he's in college, so he's really busy with other stuff. So maybe he'll pick it back up when he gets out of school. But I actually really only played violin for maybe a couple weeks when I was like four. I went to like one Suzuki lesson and decided it was not for me. I think I was maybe just too young. But then when I was eight, I wanted a guitar because I think I had a friend at school who played guitar, and I just, you see guitars a lot around in, I don't know, it's such a popular instrument. So it just kind of appealed to me as a kid. And so my dad got me a little guitar, and yeah, just took off with that instrument.
Great. Thanks for that. You became interested in singing at the ripe young age of 11. Who were your earliest influences in that mode, and what did you admire about those people and their performance styles?
I first was listening to a lot of traditional bluegrass because that's what my dad would play around the house, and I just grew up hearing that, and Hazel Dickens was one of my first heroes. I remember hearing her voice. My dad was playing one of her records, and I was just like, who is that? I was probably like 9 or 10, and her voice just sounded so different from everyone else's, and I think that's something that really captivates me, is when someone is, their voice is truly unique and it's their own. Gillian Welch is another one of my favorite singers, and
yep.
Nico Case is another favorite. But yeah, I think really like personal sounding voices appeal to me.
Okay. Some critics compare your own voice, your sound, to Alison Krauss and Suzanne Vega. How does that resonate with you, or doesn't it?
I really haven't listened to either of them very much. I've listened to Alison Krauss. As an adult, I've really gotten into her records. But I think when I was first learning to sing, I really wasn't listening to her much at all. So I always find it interesting when people make that comparison, because I don't think of either of them as an influence. Suzanne Vega, I really haven't dove into her music much at all. It's not that I don't like them. I think they're both incredible. But yeah, it's just kind of always takes me by surprise, but I see where people are coming from.
Okay. Your dad had you studying the very sophisticated techniques of flat picking legends like Clarence White, Doc Watson, and Tony Rice. And rumor has it you grew fascinated with the kind of spindly lead lines that Dave Rollins has played with Gillian Welch. Also, mm-hmm. Bob Dylan comes into the picture. So do you see those influences still coming through in your work? Do they, for example, come through in When You Are Ready?
I think, yeah, especially like Dave Rawlings' guitar playing, I think will always be a big influence on me. I just love the way he makes the acoustic guitar sound, and I think his ideas are so interesting in the way he accompanies a song. So he's really probably my favorite acoustic guitar player. He really resonates with me. So yeah, I think you can definitely hear that on When You're Ready.
Okay. Since you moved to Nashville in 2015, you wound your way through bluegrass, progressive acoustics, you know, singer-songwriting, Americana, and folk pop circles, picking up collaborators and recognition from all of that, all those genres, all those people. Does some of that take a bow in When You Are Ready? And so talk about the release, how the title song, and how you see your debut first, you know, full-length effort in your overall professional evolution.
I think this album is the most true to who I am as a musician. And I mean, I still feel like my sound and style is evolving. But this album, I really felt confident making a statement of who I was, and these songs I all wrote by myself or with other people. So that's why I chose the title When You're Ready. I think for years, it just seemed intimidating to me to make my own full length album of my songs. So yeah, this is really, I mean, I think I've been ready for a long time, but this is kind of the culmination of years of songwriting and just figuring out what sound I wanted. I think my EP, you can hear me trying out different sounds, and styles and instrumentations, but on this album, I really tried to focus in on a sound that I felt good about. And all the songs are about, each one I think has a different character to it, and I think the message of the album would just be that it's okay to be who you are.
Great. Now, you've given me a nice segue to my next question, which is more general. What inspires you? Who and what are your muses?
I am inspired by, I mean, a lot of music. For this album, I was listening to a lot of Amy Mann, and I'm really inspired by singer-songwriters. I've always kind of gravitated towards singer-songwriters. Even when I was listening to a lot of bluegrass, I was always interested in the songs, and Hazel Dickens and Bill Monroe were some of my favorites. And yeah, so I think songwriting really inspires me. But I also get a lot of inspiration from books I'm reading and going on walks and bike rides. That's sometimes when I come up with ideas for things. Yeah.
Okay. In 2017, or rather 2017, was a big year for you. Your EP Rise was released, and you signed with Alison Brown and Gary West label Compass. You also became the IBMA Guitar Player of the Year. Would you then say 2017 was a big turning point, or was it just part of a kind of seamless evolution?
I think it was a big turning point. It felt like all of a sudden there was this like boost, especially when I won the Guitar Player Award. That made some people pay attention who weren't really paying so much attention before. So I really felt a boost in my career and just opportunities that were coming in. It was really exciting time. It's still really exciting. But yeah, I think that was a turning point for me, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, it's still resonating. So let's talk now about some of your favorite collaborations on and off your record, including your colleagues in the supergroup now known as the First Ladies of Bluegrass. So characterize your relationship, if you will, with Alison Brown as the owner of your label, Alison as a banjo player and founder of the First Ladies, and on the rest of that cohort.
Yeah, it's a really fun project, and it's so inspiring to be in that band of women who I really admire, and I've looked up to Alison and Missy for a long time, and I listened to Becky and Sierra growing up, and it's just, yeah, really, really exciting to get to play with them each time we take the stage. I just feel really supported, and yeah, just really excited for what they're all playing and contributing. And it was really fun at IBMA this last year. We got to play with Rhiannon Giddens and Gillian Welch, which was definitely a highlight for me, especially Gillian Welch has been my biggest hero for a long time. So that was a dream come true for sure.
Do you know what what you will be playing at Bluegrass, or are you still figuring that out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in my own set, I haven't made a set list yet, but with the First Ladies, I think we've pretty much nailed down what we're going to play.
Do you want to give us a clue, or should we be surprised?
Let's leave it a surprise.
Okay. Has Telluride Bluegrass, has the festival, has Telluride influenced your career in any way? And what are you looking forward to most about the Bluegrass weekend?
I don't know. I mean, I've never played Telluride or been there, so I'm just excited because everyone says it's beautiful and a lot of incredible bands are going to be there. So I'm really happy I get to hang out for the whole weekend because my first set is on Friday, and then I'll be there through Sunday. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see a lot of my favorite bluegrass bands, as well as like Casey Musgraves and Brandi Carlile. Super exciting lineup. So I'm just ready to soak in the magic of Telluride that I've been hearing so much about for years.
Great. Thank you very, very much. This has been Susan Vibrock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with rising star Molly Tuttle. Look for her at Bluegrass twice, first on Friday, June 21st at 1:30, and then on Sunday with the First Ladies of Bluegrass, a quintet. They're a quintet and supergroup performing Sunday, 3:30 p.m., all on the main stage in Telluride Town Park. Molly, thanks for taking time out of your schedule. I know
how
busy you
are. Yeah, thanks for having me. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. You're welcome.
Thanks.